Okay, Galatians 2. Okie doke, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this and help us, each and every one of us, to desire to walk in the Spirit. In other words, to walk with thee. Help us to actually begin to grasp how to understand this idea. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Galatians 2. Okay, just give you a little foundation of this letter. This Paul wrote to seven churches. Most of them were like a unique individual church, like Rome, Corinth, okay, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossians, Thessalonians. So the Thessalonica. Okay, this one, there was a group of churches. There were several churches in the area called Galatia, this modern-day Turkey. It's all Muslim today. And so evidently there was more than one church there. So you still get about seven there. And this was his first letter that he wrote in his life, meaning he wrote it and then God put it in the scriptures. So he wrote it under the inspiration of God, put it in the scriptures. I'm sure he wrote other letters, but this one God chose to put in the Bible. And so this is his most passionate one, most zealous one, since it's his first one. Now, God has chosen to put Romans first, 1st, 2nd Corinthians 2nd and 3rd, and then Galatians 4th. Okay, and of course, there's reasons for that. So, being this is his most passionate one, and remember that Saul's life, he was very well trained in Judaism, very knowledgeable about it. Very zealous about it. In fact, he was killing Christians before he got saved. So he grew up under the feet of a guy named Gamaliel. So he was a very astute Jewish Sanhedrin. I'm not sure if he's in Sanhedrin. Paul might have been. I'm not sure. Saul at the time. And so when he met the Lord, then the Lord took some of his past training, Judaism, and adjusted it for Christianity, okay? And because of that, they still had this holdout of the Jewish rules and regulations to verify salvation. Okay, so Galatians is combating that idea. And so that is still a problem today, only depending on the culture, depending on what the religious background is, they may have different rules and regulations than the Judaizers had. The Judaizers would say to these new believers, well, you need to keep the Sabbath. And Paul would say, no, they don't. Well, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're not saved. Okay, and so that's what he's combating. In other denominations, you need to do this in order to show you're saved. Okay, and that's a problem back then, still a problem today. Still his. It's just different concepts. Okay, Galatians 2:16, Paul clearly said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, okay, because he's dealing with the Judaizers. That's his upbringing. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Notice there's two words in there, believe and faith. Our part is believe. Who takes over after that? Jesus Christ does. That's faith. That's where his faith works through the belief. So in verse 16, that's justification. That's also the new birth. So that's birth. So we have that there in 16. And if you drop down to verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, present tense, even though he wasn't on a cross, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if 16 is birth, 20 is growth. If 16 is where you're put in the family, 20 is how you walk in the family. Okay, that's not, the walking is not automatic. It's not automatic. Now, this is where a lot of churches try to force that. Okay, and so today, Gentiles desire certain acts of righteousness to verify salvation or justification, depending on the group. Okay, if it's a Pentecostal, in order for you to prove you got the Spirit, you got to go hashan tie tie bow tie. Then if I was dealing with something like that, I would say, okay, hashan tie 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 bow tie. Am I saved? Am I in? Well, you didn't do that the right way. Oh, I got to hold my lip just right to do it right. Okay, so each group's got a different, Baptist got the same regulation, different regulations. And in the Baptist world, it might be this route, and then another one might be this set, another one might be this set. Some of them may vary a crossover, and then it might be church membership. That's a big thing with them. If you're not a member, you're first, second class. Okay, and all that stuff. So you got all these regulations. Now, there in the Bible, there is a subtle difference between works and fruit. Okay, a work might be fruit, but it might not be fruit. A fruit might be a work. Intent plays the role. If you doubt that, Jesus said, if you don't have charity, then your martyrdom doesn't count. So intent plays a role in this, and that's where living in the Spirit plays a role in this. Intent plays a role. Work without the proper intent remains a work, and there's no credit for it. Work with the right intent could be a fruit, and then we get credit for it. The Bible is fascinating. Gentiles focus on work, but God desires a walk. We Gentiles, we want to work, work, work. You know, usually, what can you do for the church? Can you work? Can you do this? Can you do that? Do this? What about just walking with God? You see, in our mindset, in the Shemite mindset, if you look at religions that develop in the Eastern and religions in America, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, what are they busy doing? They're doing. Okay, but Buddhists, they sit in a temple and go, om. You know, and the one Buddhist temple I went to in Vietnam, I went to two of them. One of them, I thought it was a KKK convention because they had the same outfits. They had white ones and pink ones and all this stuff, and birds were flying around in this building, and Brent was crinkling his plastic bottle just to kind of hurt the vibes, and they told him to stop crinking his bottle, and he was just having fun with it. And another one, they had a gong. You know, like, remember the gong show? Maybe some of you old enough remember, they had a gong. And as one dude would hit that about every 15 seconds, I could, you know, and I'm like, gong, okay, there he is again, 15 seconds, gong. Poor guy at nighttime, he's probably going like this all the time. But when we would see that, when I see this, I would think that's a waste of time. But why? A Shemite worships. What do? We work. That's just the tendency. So how are we going to look at this idea. In Galatians, he keeps working on that. In chapter 3, this is a problem that he addressed. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. He said, okay, I got this question. Now, he asked a series of questions, but this is his main question. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, New Testament believer, how did a born-again believer receive the Holy Ghost? Believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost comes with Jesus Christ, not by works. But then, here's what happens. Churches shift. Baptists are just as guilty of this as anybody, if not more guilty. You receive the Holy Ghost by believing in Jesus Christ. Now to live in the Holy Ghost, what do you got to do? A bunch of works. Well, I thought if you began with believe, don't you continue with believe? How does that work? So I want to work on that today and next Sunday and whatnot. Okay, so first thing, justification. Okay, justification is birth into the family of God. You're in the family. That's the key. Man, if you're in the family, who cares about anything else? I'm in the family. Believe. And it starts with believe from the heart. That's the switch that allows the faith of Christ to flow through. Okay? And so this is the pattern. It's followed. Okay, if you would look in Romans 3:22. And then we'll go back to Galatians. So kind of keep Galatians available there. Maybe if you got one of them ribbon thingies or, you know, that's where your vestigial organ, your tail from being a monkey would have been real helpful to stick it right in there in that portion. See, that's why they put in the back of coats, they have a slit. That's where your tail used to come through. And so that's how that works. So Romans 3:22, it says, follow the wording, very precise. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of who? Jesus Christ. Upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe, there, for there's no difference. Okay, so believe is a light switch. Here's a light switch. Believe. Believe is a light switch. I believe. I hit the switch. Now, the electrician that ran the wires and a utility company, that's the faith that comes through that switch. When I believe, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, then the switch is triggered and the faith of Christ comes through. This is the work of God. This is all the work of God. Okay, and John, he mentions that. Okay, let's try Galatians 3:22. Now, with that belief, a person might pray, but he might not. With that belief, a person might walk an aisle, but he might not. In fact, if a person walks the aisle, he might have believed in the pew, and he was saved right there, and this is just an outflowing of his belief. But, you know, most people want to see him walk. Get down here. Get down here. What about an introvert person to be shy to do that? Believe. What about an invalid? Believe. Right on the bed. Right there on the bed. That's right. Believe right there. You see? And Galatians 3:22, he says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. No brainer, right? All under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Is that there? There we go. Believe is a switch. Empowers the faith to work through us. That's justification. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews. You see, this is a very confusing topic, and it's obviously confusing. Paul wrote three chapters in Romans 6, 7, 8, and what do you say? The things that I do, I want not. The things I do, I don't. And while he's writing Romans 6, 7, and 8, you start at 6, and then he runs it from justification all the way to glorification and those. And there's so much confusion with that. And while he's writing Romans 7, 24, he wrote, O wretched man that I am. Present tense. He didn't say I was. And then God in heaven says, oh, that's a holy man. Holy men of God's speakers are moved by the Holy Ghost. God said, that's a holy man. He's in the family. That's my kid. And then he's writing, oh, wretched man that I am. That's from our perspective. That's being honest about ourselves. Hebrews 11:6, you'll see the same pattern. But without faith, it is impossible to believe him or please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, believe is the switch. People can have faith and not believe. You hear that a lot these days, faith-based ministries. And a lot of them don't believe. They don't believe. Jesus Christ is the one who we believe in. You see, this is understandable. It's totally understandable because under the Old Testament, it was do it, do it, do it, do it. Through the Old Testament, when you read Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14, there's a parallel in Romans 10, 5 to 8. So Romans 10 is the New Testament translation of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, three times it said, do it, do it, do it. So much that in Luke chapter 3, three different groups of people came to John. He said, one was the publicans. They said, what shall we do? He told them. Then it was the people. And they said, what shall we do? And he told them. Then the civil authorities said, what shall we do? And he told them. And that's why the Philippian jailer, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? What was the answer? Believe. See, a lot of people are, did I pray the right prayer? Did I mean it? Was I sincere? Oh, I'll just do it again. Do it, do it, do it again, do it again. How about believe? You believe or you don't believe? From the heart, believe in Jesus Christ. That's what triggers that. You see? And that's why all the confusion. If you would go to John 3. Okay, you have several times the Lord Jesus introduced certain doctrinal ideas that were going to be some changes. At the Last Supper, he introduced the New Testament. First time that showed up, Matthew 26. First time mentioned that, New Testament. He introduced it at the Last Supper. It was instituted at Calvary at his death. It wasn't understood until Acts 15. Because you got that change in there. Okay? And then he said, okay, he's introducing the new birth in John 3 to Nicodemus. He's introducing that idea there to a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi. But if you watch the wording, he talks about himself in the third person. He didn't say, believe in me, to Nicodemus. He said that to the woman at the well. With Nicodemus, it's a whole different idea. And so Nicodemus is there. He came to him at nighttime, and people have got, try to figure out why he did that. And you'll have to ask him when you get to heaven. Probably he was busy during the day. Maybe he was afraid. Who knows? The pressure, the spiritual pressure is a phenomenal thing. In John 3, Jesus answered his question and introduced an idea. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it. And of course, Nick, he thought natural. So he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Man, can you imagine that? Get a, 30-year-old guy in there. Boy, you're about ready to pop. Okay, so then he answers that question. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, there's many people in Christendom, we use that word loosely, will say water means baptism. No, it's more simple than that. Water means water. See, how do you know that? Because it's spelled W-A-T-E-R. but many got to throw that in there. Why? Because they want to see if someone's saved. So in their mind, when you go into the baptism or sprinkled, or you're a sinner when you walk into water, and then when you're down, the grace of God comes over you, and you wash your sins away, and you come back up, you're a saint. And then you get all the water pollution from all that sin. And then it's on the towel. I mean, it's just pathetic. Well, Jesus answered it in verse 6 because it's a parallel. In verse 6, he said, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the water birth. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the spiritual birth. How does that take place? Believe. That's why John used believe over 90 times in the Gospel according to John. He didn't use faith, he used believe. Why? Because the belief is what triggers the faith. of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he said this, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." That here's the absolute rule for born-again people. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Who knows who's born again? You say, what about the person? Sometimes they lose their assurance. But the Lord still knows. He keeps track. He knows. The devil might, because he can read that spirit. I'm not sure. But you and I don't know. People say, well, I'm a fruit inspector. Yeah, you might be a fruit. Well, I'm a fruit inspector. What fruit are you going to inspect? What qualification? What if the fruit gets rotten? I mean, I get saved. I get saved at 9 years old. Did I have much fruit after 9 years old? No. No, not from people's perspective. You know, and so here now, if let's go back to verse 5 and say that water baptism is correct. So when somebody's baptized, down, up, when they're up, you already know who's saved right there. They're not born of the Spirit. You see, you don't know. Now, maybe a person does believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I don't believe in this H2O. You can't read that heart. I got born again as a Dutch Reformed kid going to the Dutch Reformed church. I got born again in spite of the predestination. I was predestinated not to be a Calvinist. So, you know, I got born again then. Why? Because the Lord can use their words to work on a person, to reach their spirit. Okay? And when you're in the family, that's good. If you would look in Ephesians 1. In the Chicago area, there's gangs all over the place. And, you know, and we worked some of the kids when we were up in Hammond. And this one girl, she was loyal to her gang. Her gang, I don't know if it was a Jewish gang. She wasn't Jewish because they couldn't eat pork. Can you imagine that? It was a black girl, but couldn't eat pork. And if they had a meal at the youth center, she wanted to see the ingredients to make sure there's no pork in there. Now, why was she adamant about that? Because she felt accepted by the gang. I got somebody else that's better to be accepted by. Ephesians 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And a lot of times people have hurt pains because they're not accepted by family, maybe not by parents. But the Bible says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. We're accepted in the beloved, in the family. We're in the family, and the Lord's going to love you. Now, if you don't produce fruit, he's still going to love you. You see, we live in a performance-based society. In Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul summarized it in a one-liner. It's such a powerful verse. That's one I got memorized, you know, where he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." So how did I receive Christ Jesus the Lord? If we go back to the water baptism thingy, how did they receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, I got baptized in water. So it says, "As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Now, if they receive Christ Jesus the Lord in the water, you'd have to change that verse, "As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so swim in him." Because that's how they got him, according to their philosophy. So how do we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Believed in Jesus Christ. How do we walk in him? Believe in Jesus Christ. Now, then he's going to say, believe in the Spirit, believe in the Scriptures, believe in your position. That would be sanctification. Okay, so justification is birth into the family of God. Sanctification is fruit in the family of God. Now, is that automatic? It's God's desire. It's his desire, where the will of God, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, is that all men to be saved justification, comma, and come to the knowledge of the truth, sanctification. That's God's will for every person, every atheist, every Satanist, every born-again believer. First, to be saved, justified. Second, to be sanctified. To walk with, that's his desire. But he's not going to force either one on any of us. Not going to do it. If you would, go to Galatians 5. Now, when a person, let's say they've been in a religious system where you got all these rules and regulations, and you get saved, there's a weight taken off of you, and you're free in Jesus Christ. There's a liberty. A liberty not to do wrong, but a liberty to do right. How do we do that? Galatians 5, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You have this liberty, and the one with the yoke of bondage, in this context, would be Judaism. Maybe in a Dutch Reformed community, it would be the Dutch Reformed beliefs, the Calvinism. Maybe in a Pentecostal area, you'd have to have this, this, and this. Maybe in Jehovah Witness, it'd be this, this, and this. And so we have a young man down at Rensselaer. He's converted from Jehovah Witness. He just told me this morning, he said, "When I was a kid, I'd see these people and I would say, wow, wow, religious." He said, "Now when I look at them, I see there's emptiness in their eyes. They don't have the liberty in Christ. They're under this bondage." And he sees that. Why? Because he's free. He's got liberty in Christ. But somebody's going to try to take that liberty. Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." We have liberty to reach out and serve another. In verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But sadly, what happens sometimes amongst the Christian community? The next verse. This is where we get the phrase, "dog eat dog." "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another." You say a Christian could do that? Yep. I know two Christian celebrities in the last 2 weeks that tried to, it totally hindered a work in Malawi and actually called a church and got their pastor fired. Good, godly, dedicated Christian celebrities, Bible believers. How could you do something like that? I've read the correspondence. I know the personal stuff going on. You say, are they lost? No, they're saved. They just yielded to the flesh. That's all they did. They just yielded to... And I can do the same thing. What's in my flesh capability? Keep reading. Galatians 5, 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now notice he says walk in the Spirit. But before you can walk in the Spirit, you got to live in the Spirit. How do you live in the Spirit? You get born again. And then you walk in it. And if you drop down to verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit," that's a new birth, "let us also walk in the Spirit." Is that guaranteed? It's not guaranteed. That's what he wants us to do. Why? Because we get all the glorious benefits. What is sandwiched inside there about living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." That's each and every born-again believer. We got a battle inside of us. "And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit," how do you do that? Led of the Spirit. We're going to try to work on that. "If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Okay, under the law, that's because he's dealing with Judaism. If it would be a Catholic, you're not under the sacraments. If it's a Calvinist, you're not under Calvinism. Okay, if it's a Pentecost, you're not under Arminianism. You're not under the law. And then it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Okay, so this is describing the capability of your flesh and my flesh. What's the capability of my flesh? Me, right here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Do we feel good about ourselves? Idolatry. Idolatry? Idolatry? A Christian having an idol? Yeah, maybe they're watching American Idol. I don't know. Idolatry? Yes. Idolatry. Witchcraft? You said a Christian can do witchcraft? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bill Sneblin's wife was born again as a child. And then Bill Sneblin and her are going through witchcraft, witches, covens, all this stuff. And then when he got saved, she said, well, I got saved as a kid. She'd been going through all that. Witchcraft. Now, there's a spiritual connotation to it, but the initial idea would be an act of curiosity of the flesh. And then it goes further and further. Hatred. Oh, do you know any Christians that hate somebody? Oh, I don't know. I mean, we just love everybody. Hatred, variance, emulations. All the new Bibles take those two words out because there's a problem with that. Wrath. Of course, Christians don't get angry, do we? We don't get angry. Oh, no, of course not. Strife. Oh, no strife. No strife. Oh, no. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, oh, I see that. Inherit. Notice the wording, inherit. Jesus said, you're born again, you'll see and enter it. This is an inheritance. This is different. Yeah, a person who's going to see and enter the kingdom of God might do those things. But then you go to church, they'll say, oh, you're not saved. You just need to get saved. How do you know that? It's like born of the Spirit. And then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, so this is one type of fruit of the Spirit, nine items here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Ooh, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, justification, let us also walk in the Spirit, sanctification. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it starts with belief. Starts with belief. So see, many pastors bully, guilt, or manipulate folks in their church to do a work of the ministry or to keep some regulations that they have. But they seldom encourage to walk with the Master. They want them to work for the Master, but they don't want them to walk with the Master. Or at least they don't say that, or their messages aren't like that. And this is a mishandling of the Scriptures, but yet they feel it's right because the end justifies the means. But intent is key. Why does a person do what they do? If they're going to do it, because he's going to pressure me if I don't. How about we do what we do because we love the Lord? You see, and I want to yield to the Spirit of God to be a blessing to God. But that's not the intent. That doesn't build a big ministry. And what happens is when you got all these rules and regulations, it develops an attitude of self-righteousness and it develops an us versus them mentality. That's what it develops. Well, they believe in these 10 things and I believe in these 10 things. Now, of course, some of those 10, I agree with 5 of them, but these other 5 I don't agree with. And so I'm more spiritual than they are because mine are better than theirs. And the Bible says it's foolish to compare ourselves among ourselves. So what about this? If you would go to Romans 6:4, we'll run a few places. Okay, in the mindset often these people is, and I understand the temptation. The temptation is they've lived long enough, they've seen people profess to be saved, they've seen them fall away, therefore, now what do we do with that? Well, I would suggest pray for them. That'd probably be a good idea. And love them. That'd probably be an okay idea. I mean, is that fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace? Well, I don't accept them. But they're in the family. If they're born again, they're in the family. They're accepted by God.
Well, I don't accept him.
Well, then you got higher standards than God. Romans 6, verse 4, he says this. And this is where Paul is running back and forth through this, Romans 6 through 8. He says this, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Okay, now again, the ones that have water on the brain are going to assume that's water. But there's two different baptisms. Neither one has anything to do with water. Someone who is placed in Jesus Christ has been placed in his death 2,000 years ago. That's why Paul said, present tense, I am crucified with Christ. That's why he said that. So he's got two separate baptisms. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also will walk in newness of life? Or does it say should? It says should. Yes, a born-again believer should walk in newness of life. And we should encourage them to do that. But if they choose not, that's their choice. And maybe the Lord will work on them. I know the Lord will continue to work on them. And maybe they'll yield to that belief. Okay, the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 4. We'll see this. This is a common theme. Romans 7, verse 4. Okay, in this one, he's taking a marriage and a divorce, and or a marriage and a death, and how at death, the living party is not bound to the dead party. In this context, is used in the Jewish law, where they're dead to the law, now they're married to Christ. Okay, that's the illustration he's using. But in verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Okay, by the so justification, new birth, that ye should be married to another, the other is Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we will bring forth fruit unto God, or should? Should. Yes, we should. We should bring some fruit to God. Will we? If we yield to the Spirit, then he can work through us to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:20, another one. This us versus them mentality is a common problem. And that's where the bite and devour comes in. They're not like us. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:20. I mean, I've been in that. I know what that's about. I've done that. I've been guilty of those things. 1 Corinthians 10:20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Can a born-again believer have fellowship with devils? Well, obviously he must be saying yes. Are they still saved? Well, if they believed in the Lord took over. Are they going to be punished for it? Yes, they will. But that's between they and the Lord. But notice it says should. A person says, I don't know if I can go with that. Okay, in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the men, whom do people say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't show that to you. God revealed that to me. So he spoke by the inspiration of God. That would have been 16 and 17. And then in 21, Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and suffer from anything. And in 22, Peter rebuked him. And then 23, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's why the born-again believer is like the wind, is because in seconds, you can be yielding to the Spirit, yielding to your flesh, back to yielding to your Spirit, back to yielding to the flesh in seconds. And how do we do that? There's a transition in there. There's a transition in there from living in the Spirit to walking in the Spirit. There's some things, we don't got time to do that, so that's kind of be leave for next week. And so 2 Corinthians 5, Another one. 2 Corinthians 5. This is a very complex idea. 2 Corinthians 5 reveals that every born-again believer is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. This is limited to born-again believers. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Why? Because I got in a family. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Okay, one died for all, Christ, then we're all dead, so we're placed in Christ. "And that he died for all." He died for everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth, but he's not going to force it. "That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves," "henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Notice, "which live should not live unto themselves." Are born-again believers living to themselves? Many are, if not most. Why? That's Laodicea. It's Laodicea. They shouldn't, and I shouldn't. When I think about myself and live for myself, I shouldn't. But I can, and I do. Ephesians 2, verse 10. This is a idea, concept, I think, that when we can at least try to get some understanding, that it might give us more liberty individually to allow the Spirit to work through us. Ephesians 2, obviously, verse 8 and 9, very well-known verses for salvation. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." See, the birth is a gift. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And then, here we go, the folks that want to verify what you believed in verse 8 and 9, "For we are his workmanship." Yeah, that's true. We are his workmanship. He's going to work in us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And they'll say, see, you got to do good works. Okay, fine, no arguments here. "Which God hath before ordained that we," notice the wording, "that we should walk in them." Yes, we should. Yeah, we should. Will we? Well, if the believing in the Savior gives us a gift of eternal life, believing in the Scriptures and the Spirit of God will allow the Spirit to work through us to produce the fruit. Who gets the credit for that? This is why a lot of churches, Bill Snebelin told me this, as he got out of witchcraft, everything, he was involved in Satanism, he joined a Mormon church. The Mormon ward. There's a ward in Hebron. The ward. Can you imagine calling your church a ward? Where's the warden? Well, it is a prison. But he says in Salt Lake City, Mormon women are some of the biggest pill poppers in the whole country. Why? There's some things they believe that are righteous according to Scripture. They're trying to do it without living in the Spirit. They can't do it. They can't keep up with it. They got to pop the pills in order to survive. And that's why that is. If they get born again, they can take some of those righteous acts that Mormonism does promote that are in agreement with Scripture, take some of it, then their holy underwear they can get rid of. Because we're in Christ. They have a liberty. They'd have a liberty from that. You see? And so each denomination has different bondage, rules of bondage. And it develops a self-righteous attitude of a us versus them mentality. Baptists have the same thing. We got liberty in Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. When we believe that the Spirit of God can work through us, live in the Spirit, then we can have fruit for the Lord. Okay, and so how does one allow the faith of Christ to flow through the believer in order to be sanctified and walk with God? We'll work on that next week. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this. Lord, give us light, give us understanding. Lord, because of your great sacrifice, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ should. Yes, we should. We should walk in newness of life. We should seek to walk with thee and produce some fruit for thee. We can't do it in our own power. It's impossible to do it on our own. Oh, I guess some can do it. I mean, with self-discipline or whatnot, maybe how they're raised. But Lord, it's not credited to our account when it's not done through charity. And Lord, I just pray that you'd, by chance, if somebody here is not born again, help them to see that it's that simple. Believe in Jesus Christ. And then our walk is belief in the Spirit of God. That's what triggers his faith. I pray you'd help us to understand this concept, idea, this doctrine, these truths. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.